Gracious Lord, as we think about your one holy, pure passion and your compassion for each of us, we focus upon Joseph today and how it is that you are working your will and your promises through him. How it is that you gave him a very important role, not of his choosing, in fact, just the opposite. Yet you called upon him not because he was qualified, but rather because he found his qualifications in you, empowered by the Holy Spirit to fulfill the role you called him for. Lord, so much to think about, so much to wonder about, so much to pray about as we think about the role of Joseph leading up to the birth of Jesus. Help us this day in the midst of a time frame when the world is swirling around us at incredible breakneck speed, a world that is oftentimes filled with darkness, a world that is oftentimes filled with confusion, a world that needs your compassion. Lord, help us to sift through Scripture today, to become mindful of what it is not only that you said to Joseph, but what it is you say to us today, Advent 2017. In your name we pray. Amen. So today, want to ask a question, or really it's not so much a question as to invite you into a conversation that we're going to have as we go through a time of teaching. And one of the things I want you to ponder is, what does Advent mean to you? The word Advent literally means coming. And there are three components to Advent that are sometimes kind of swept under the rug, but they're so relevant if we allow them to have the life that God intends for them to have. The three components of Advent are these. First of all, Advent is a preparation for the celebration of the birth of Jesus. We all know that. We're not brain dead. We get that part, right? We're getting ready for the celebration of the birth of Jesus. Even though, interestingly enough, I heard this past week on the radio that according to recent surveys, the celebration of the Christ child at Christmas has, by popular opinion, become an afterthought. Really kind of a more of an inconvenience rather than a focal part. In fact, the people that were surveyed had no intention. The majority of people had no intention of attending any worship services. No, Christmas was all about family and presence. The church component, the celebration of Christ, was just something religious people did. And in this survey, the majority of people were not planning to allow the celebration of Christ to be part of their Christmas. No, it was all about family and gifts and you know, travel and that kind of thing. So truly, Advent is a season set aside by the church for all of us to be intentional about celebrating the birth of Christ. That's one component. A second component of Advent is a time of preparation to invite Christ into our hearts. So that it's not just a remembering event of what God did long ago, but it's an active event in the present when we allow the Christ child to truly come into our hearts. Just as the Holy Spirit came into the life of Mary in a very special way, came into the life of Joseph in a very important role, came into the life of all of those who surround the creche and worship the Christ child, so God wants to bring the Christ and the love of God into our hearts. That's why the angel's announcement to the shepherds was so important, so that they could go to the manger and worship. That's what Scripture tells us, so that we can come to Christmas and worship. Worship why? Because the Christ child is alive in our hearts. So we remember and we celebrate the birth of Christ, and we pray that Christ this Christmas, this Advent season, will truly come into our hearts as well. And the third component, and just this morning I had a conversation with somebody who said, why do you have white Advent candles? Aren't they supposed to be purple? And I said, that's very interesting. You're remembering the color of the candles from your childhood, aren't you? And I said, yeah, we always had purple. And I said, yeah, the church used to have purple, not only for Advent, not only for Lent, I should say, but for Advent as well. And many years ago, the Lutheran church anyway, and I believe many of the others, switched from purple to blue for this reason. Number one, to help appreciate the significance and the distinctness of each season, purple representing royalty and penitence in preparation for Easter, but blue representing baptism, when Christ and the Holy Spirit come into our world and into our lives. And also the blue represents the sky, because the third dynamic of Advent is to anticipate the second coming of Christ. And so the blue was a way to help focus on the sky, the second coming of Christ. I don't know if he'll come in the sky or how he's going to do, but that's the way of representing that. So the person said, okay, I get the distinction between purple and blue. So how come your candles are white? I said, good question. No, white is the backup color. It's the season of Christmas, and so it represents the purity, the cleanness that God brings through not only repentance and forgiveness, but the coming of Christ. And so that's a color we use too. So those three components of Advent. I want you to be thinking about what Advent means to you. Advent is a celebration of Christmas. It's a celebration of anticipating Christ to come into our hearts, and it's anticipation of Christ coming again. So what does Advent mean to you? So this day, this third Sunday of Advent, and next Sunday is the fourth Sunday of Advent / Christmas Eve, because it's a Sunday, right? So you know that next Sunday, just so you know, next Sunday there won't be an 11 o'clock worship. Lest you feel deprived, you have 10 other worship opportunities, okay? So because in the morning we're going to have worship at 8 o'clock and 9:30 here in the sanctuary, traditional, and then 9:29 over in the worship center. We need the 11 o'clock hour to transform into our Christmas Eve worship, at which time, beginning at 1:30 in the afternoon, we're going to have from that point on, and that's in your prayer and action guide all the times, we're going to have 7 more services. So you have opportunity to worship, okay? And hopefully one of those wonderful opportunities will fit your needs. And as you think about which one or ones, I want you to be thinking about this. How might you serve? This is a season of celebrating and serving. So which one of those services or more might you serve at in a special way? And there's even an opportunity for you to sign up back in the narthex area if you want to pick a service that works for you. And who will you invite? Who are you going to bring to one of those worship services to be with you to serve, not necessarily to serve, but to come and worship? So I want you to be thinking about those two things. No 11 service next week, but many opportunities. So Advent is a season that the church sets aside for wonder. Now, I know we think about Christmas as the season of wonder, right? Now, the Christmas season is the awe-filled kind of wonder. We wonder at the splendor of the angels. We wonder at the splendor of the magnificent music we're going to experience on Christmas Eve. We wonder at all of those things. We wonder at the Christ child, and we wonder along with Mary as she pondered all these things in her heart. That scripture will be read on Christmas Eve. We wonder along with the wise men as they wandered trying to find the Christ child. So yes, Christmas is a season of awesome-filled wonder. Sorry about using that word, Craig, but it's appropriate for Christmas, I think. Craig has an aversion to the word awesome because it's misused, and that's true, it is. But in this case, it's used appropriately. I think.
Absolutely.
Okay. And so, thank you. That's a resounding affirmation coming from Craig. It really is. So, awe-filled wonder for Christmas. But the kind of wonder that Advent invites us into is the reflective kind of wonder. The wonder where we pause. The wonder where we ponder. The wonder where we pray. The wonder where we think intentionally about those words of prophecy that we will hear again on Christmas Eve and that we have heard during this season of Advent. So Advent invites us to a season of wonder in a reflective kind of spirit. And as I was thinking about that mood of Advent, I couldn't help but think about Joseph in our gospel for today. Don't you suppose that Joseph was wondering, why me? Why this? You know? Don't you think he was wondering about this baby to be born and he knew he didn't have any part in the process? Don't you think he was wondering about what it meant to be a righteous man? Being a righteous man, according to the culture of his day, meant that he'd kept the Torah. He'd been obedient. He'd been a faithful worshiper. He'd done everything right. Okay? That's where the word righteous comes. He was right in the eyes of God. He'd done it all right. Now his bride-to-be, the one to whom he's betrothed, is pregnant. It's going to mess up his righteousness reputation. He's got to be wondering about this. This is stuff with really serious consequences, especially in that culture at that time. This was big stuff. This is not something to be swept under the rug as kind of an afterthought to the whole Christmas story. No, this was a big deal in the life. Don't minimize it. It's really important. It was going to affect his whole life, this announcement of the angel. Don't you suppose he's wondering about what's next? He never saw this coming. He's got to be wondering, if this, then what next? You know, he's got to be wondering, why did God pick him at this time, this place? What's that all about? And then give him the honor of naming him? Is that supposed to placate him? What's that all about? You know, hey, I'll give you this if you accept this. I mean, he's got to be wondering about that. But then the name. Think about that, the name Jesus. Joseph knew that the name Jesus means, literally, it means he saves his people from their sins. And he's got to be wondering, what kind of a child is this that he's going to forgive sins? I mean, think about that for a second. He's got to be wondering about that stuff. He's got to be wondering about these prophecies with which he was very familiar. He knew, he had studied the Torah. He knew the prophecies. So these words from Isaiah chapter 64, verse 4, that Paul quotes in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Those were the words of the prophet that God had given to the prophet to proclaim. And those words were so impactful, so meaningful, so relevant that the Apostle Paul takes those words of prophecy. And in the book of Corinthians, as he's writing this letter to the church at Corinth, he seeks to help the people understand what they cannot understand, what God is doing beyond their perceptions. And that's why these words of the prophet are so relevant. Think about your own life. Has there ever been something that your eye has not seen, that your ear has not heard, that your mind has not conceived of, yet you believe it because it's from God? That's what faith is all about, isn't it? God goes beyond our hopes and our dreams, beyond in a magnificent, holy way. So Joseph has got to be wondering about being singled out to be part of this. Have you ever been in a situation where you wondered, why me, Lord? Why am I in this situation? Why am I battling cancer? Come on. Why me? You know? Ever been, you know, and how's God going to use my life to be a witness? Is that what this is all about? Terry, I don't know if that was your question or not, but might as well have been. No, I don't know. You've heard it, Ralph, yeah. But haven't we all been in a situation at one time or another in our life where we wondered, okay, why? Why did my husband lose his job? Why? What's this all? What are we supposed to learn from this? Or how are we supposed to, how do we maintain our righteousness in all of this? You know, I think, haven't we all been in a situation where we want, well, I think if we can remember that, then we get more in tune with what Joseph was going through. This whole thing is going to change his whole life. Ever been in a situation where you know it's going to change your life? I remember when I was diagnosed with cancer, and that's why I asked that question. And I did ask. It was right after I'd finished seminary, and I'd just received a call to be a pastor. And I was diagnosed with cancer, and I thought, come on. I studied Greek. I made it through Greek, and now I got to go through this? I mean, seriously. I wondered, and yet through that experience, I was able to see how God was keeping hope alive in my life in many ways. So I think it's fair. I think it's appropriate. I think it's important for us to wonder about these kinds of things in whatever particular life circumstance you're wondering about today. I admit, I've been wondering about a few things. I'm wondering if this is the year when I finally get the Christmas gifts right. You know, kind of wondering, will I really get something this year that makes other people happy? You know, I'm trying. I always try, but you know, and they always are so nice and so kind, and they pretend so well that it's something they liked, you know, and then I see that they exchange it for something else. So, you know. I'm wondering about how we're going to pull off those 10 worship services next Sunday, you know? I'm kind of wondering. We pastors and church musicians kind of wonder about those kinds of things. And really, if you want to do the math, it's 11 because there's going to be a Saturday night service. And if you really want to do the math, it's 12 because Good Shepherd members are also going up to the Convalescent Center next Sunday morning to lead a worship service. One of our members will be preaching. Our Good Shepherd members are leading worship for the convalescent residents who cannot get out of their wheelchairs and in many cases don't have any family who come and visit them anymore. So they're going to bring Christmas joy to that place and they're going to lead worship. So that's 12 worship services. I wonder how God is going to pull that off. I know God's got it under control, but I'm kind of wondering about that. And then as I reflect and wonder about those things, I know that those things are really kind of small potatoes, really, in the grand scheme of things compared to what Joseph was wondering about. Stuff of earthly and eternal consequence. So what are you wondering about this Advent? Are you wondering about this newly proposed tax bill? Pastors are wondering about it. Because the word is that you'll no longer be able to deduct for charitable contributions. Will that impact our generosity quotient to churches and other? I don't know. We're wondering about that. We're praying about that. Are some of you wondering about whether or not particular loved ones are going to be with you this Christmas? One of our families, the family of Millie Birch. Millie is a long-time faithful member here at Good Shepherd, as long as her health permitted. She's been in a care center now for quite a number of years, and her last couple of years she's been confined to a bed. But you know what? As we celebrate her life tomorrow at 1 o'clock here at Good Shepherd in her funeral service, it's going to be a celebration of life. Why? Because Millie knew the meaning of the name Jesus. She knew that Jesus had been the one who had saved her from her sins. And in that truth, in that Emmanuel moment in her life, she could feel God with her, even when she was confined to a bed. And so Millie was bold to proclaim Jesus as her Lord and Savior, the one who forgave her from her sins. And in that, she saw God keeping hope alive in her. So tomorrow will be a celebration of her earthly life lived well and her eternal life in heaven. Are you wondering this Advent / Christmas season how you might share faith like Millie did? Are you wondering about that? I know I'll own this. I sometimes get spiritually distracted this time of year, consumed a little bit by all of the present buying and the stuff that swirls around at this time of year. I know, and I'm going to own it, that I sometimes get distracted. But even as I think about gifts, will I this year be intentional about sharing the gift that God brought to us at Christmas? And how are the ways in which God might use us in our sphere of influence, our circle of friends, our neighborhood, our community? How is it that God might use us to share that gift this year? I kind of wonder about that. As we contemplate all that Joseph might have wondered about, wondering about how not to expose Mary to public disgrace, wondering about how he was going to be the daddy of the Savior of the world. Think about that job description. It's tough enough being a daddy. What about daddy of the Savior of the world? There's not many job descriptions written for that one. You know, how do you do that? As you wonder, and as Joseph wondered about all those things, in the midst of his wondering, I believe that God allowed Joseph to see in such a way that God was keeping hope alive in Joseph. And at the end of the day, in the midst of all his wondering, Joseph came to the conclusion that God was in control and God would provide, and the angel and God would lead him as he needed to be led. Even though he could not see what was about to happen, he trusted. And because he trusted, hope was kept alive in his life. As you think about all that Joseph was wondering about, I wonder how it is that God might use you, how he might use me, to keep hope alive for someone else this Christmas. I was talking with my godmother, Donna Mae Reiches. Some of you know her. She moved to Minnesota quite a number of years ago, and she now lives in a care center. It's pretty much independent living where she is. She's now 93 years old, and this past week she hosted a birthday party for one of the youngsters in the care center. It was the youngster's 75th birthday, and Donna Mae was in charge of the celebration, and she ordered some freshly baked pies, and she had some game activities to go along with a good luncheon that she hosted for this 75-year-old, this kid there at the care center. And they did their games, and they had their lunch, and they ate their pie, and she said, "Now I've got one more surprise. We're all going to go Christmas caroling." And so she led this group of birthday party celebrators over to the next building where the people who were residents there were confined to their wheelchairs and confined to their beds. And they went Christmas caroling. And she said, "Gary, you know, that was kind of a risk because I didn't know what church, if any, the people at the party all went to, because some of the people came in from outside to celebrate this birthday party." And she said, "I didn't know, but I took a risk. And I wondered about how it would turn out." And she said, "You know, it was really cool because at the end when they were done, some of the partygoers told her that they now saw Christmas in a whole new light, as they had brought Christmas joy to some people that could not get out and celebrate." And one of the residents talked about how this had helped keep hope alive for her. She took a risk. She wondered about how it would turn out, but she trusted that God would lead, and God did as God always does, and it turned out fantastic. This last week, I was watching the news, and I saw this report about a Chicago police officer named Officer Maddox. 20-some years ago, Officer Maddox began an after-school program for children in a gang-infested neighborhood. And they've been not only tutoring the children, they've been providing a safer environment for them during those hours, and they've been teaching them values. And throughout the course of the entire report, the one word that the officer continued to repeat was hope. Wanted to bring hope to this neighborhood. And she talked about how it was that she'd been allowed to keep hope alive and the impact it was having in that neighborhood. She couldn't change all of Chicago, but she was impacting that neighborhood, keeping hope alive. And those kids were growing up with values that were transforming that neighborhood. Not all of Chicago, but that neighborhood is different because they've been keeping hope alive. So this last week on TV, I saw this interview with a very prominent Democrat whose son died from cancer. And he was having a conversation with a very prominent Republican whose father was very, very sick with cancer, is very sick with cancer, and don't know if that person will make it or not, but very sick. And the word that kept popping up in their conversation was hope. They talked about hope. And this father who'd lost his son to cancer was talking about hope. And it was making a difference in the conversation, that word of hope. So do you know what the word of the year is according to Oxford Dictionary? Did you see it just came out? I know a couple of weeks ago, dictionary.com picked the word complicit as the word of the year. But now Oxford Dictionary has chosen a different word. The word that they've chosen as the word of the year is youthquake. Youthquake is the word of the year according to Oxford Dictionary. So I looked that up because I kind of had an idea, but I wanted to make sure I understood how Oxford Dictionary defined it this way. A significant cultural, political, or social change arising from the actions or influence of young people. I'm wondering if youthquake is not only the word of the year for 2017, but I wonder if at the time Jesus was born, God wasn't doing a youthquake. Wasn't Mary a very young girl? Wasn't Joseph a young man? Wasn't baby Jesus pretty young? And yet God used what the world would never imagine to change the world, to keep hope alive, and to help us see in a whole new way. So as we think about how it is that God keeps hope alive in unlikely ways, I'm wondering today what Advent means to you. And what any of this conversation means to you. Any ways in which Advent has been particularly meaningful to you this year? Or any ways in which you have seen God keeping hope alive? Or maybe even, and now I'm throwing at you lots of topics for conversation, but any ways in which maybe you see how God might use you? Any thoughts to any of the above? Any thoughts either about what Advent means to you or about keeping hope alive? I want to invite you to share with me any things that you're thinking about. You see, the gospel is not only a historical account about what did happen. The gospel, because it's holy, always invites us in to be part of the story. So, any thoughts about God keeping hope alive? Yeah, go ahead, Linda.
I was reading about, I think it was on Being, about winter and the cold, dark
Yeah.
And that season brings depression for a lot of people, not just because of the Advent season or Christmas season, but because of that internal death.
Yep.
And so we've got a lot of people with seasonal affective disorders during winter.
Yep.
But spring will come.
Amen. Amen.
And the barren ground will turn soft.
Yeah.
And the flowers, everything will bloom again.
Yeah.
That's the hope. That's the reality.
Yeah.
That's the truth. Spring will come.
Amen. Amen. That'll preach. That'll preach. And I think that's what I heard Donna Mae saying happened for those who are confined to their beds and maybe were clinging with a slippery grasp onto hope. And it brought that message of spring into their lives again. Message of hope, yeah, that's good. Jody, I'm not going to pick on you, but I just want to share that the video that your dad shared from Bezos funeral service back in Papua New Guinea touched my heart.
Yeah.
That video on Facebook of Bezos' life and the music that underscored it was really all about keeping hope alive. Yeah. Very meaningful message.
Pastor, we have one too that specifically for this congregation, sort of behind the scenes, we've been preparing with a team from this congregation and from around the church to keep hope alive by being the 12th, by making this not just a hollow thing we say every week, but that we actually go out and do. And this Advent season, we've made several visits to sort of a sister church in the city called First Trinity Lutheran in the Edgewater area, or Bridgeport area, rather. And they are a congregation that they don't have a lot of money. But they give, they're like the widow's mite, they give it all, and they have really made an impact in the community in terms of addressing the homeless, addressing those people who, as you say, are bedridden or elderly. Everything from providing a God's closet that they stock with clothes and that sort of thing, to which, by the way, we've also contributed to talking to their council people and their representatives to get a bus line to go down 35th Street because people who are poor, people who are older, can't get to the doctor, can't get to the grocery store, can't get to church, and they'd like to do all those things. Mm-hmm. And so are sort of building a team to do a partnership with them, and after the first of the year, we'll be more about that. But I think it's particularly poignant in this time of Advent that they are absolutely keeping the hope alive, and they've had several financial things hit them. Boilers go out of the on the church and that kind of thing, but they don't stop. They give it all, and that gives me hope for humanity.
Yeah, and Craig, we're really appreciative that you've been instrumental as God has used you to be a point person for that endeavor. Pardon me. One of our members, Andrew Mack, is very active in that church and serves on church council even, and has a liaison. And you should know that some of our above and beyond mission dollars have gone for that purpose. And this partnership that Craig is talking about is going to allow us to be actively engaged in keeping hope alive. Any other thoughts? Pardon me. Charlotte. And Charlotte, you've been a very instrumental part of that, and we're grateful for the ways in which God has used you to be a Joseph kind of person in that role, a very significant role, caring for those children. And and that kind of impact with all of our mission trips where God allows us to see and to keep hope alive. Yeah. Wow. Great example. Any other? Robert?
Yeah, even closer to home, we also support Rebuilding Together in Aurora. And that's changed the lives of some of these people. They their homes, they can't afford to fix them up and make them habitable. And there's another mission that we support as part of the Thriving Community. And they're doing exactly what you're talking about here in DuPage County. There are a lot of people that can't get to doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a group that takes them to the doctor and stays with them while they're in the doctor's office and brings them home. And that gives them so much comfort.
Right. Being the 12th.
Being the
12th.
That's a program called, talking about the same thing, it's called Bright Assist Neighborhood.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually part of the formation of that.
Cool.
Serve on the board of directors. And it's amazing. We actually modeled that after an organization up in Schaumburg. It was not an original idea. It was just something that looked a desperate need. And the lives that we have changed and the accolades that we have received from those people, I mean,
sure.
In totally off-the-wall direction. I mean, things that have come back to us is amazing.
Wow.
It is. It's something to be quite significant.
This is heartwarming.
It is.
I love these examples. Well, awesome examples. Let's keep the conversation going, because by responding to the invitation to be the 12th, as you said so well, Craig, gives us opportunity to be called by God, not because necessarily of our abilities, but because the gifts God has given us to be the 12th and to allow other people to see how God is keeping hope alive. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, thanks so much for this conversation. Thanks for this season of Advent, when we can wonder about these kinds of things, when together we can have conversation and share and be open to possibilities about how we can be the 12th, how we can truly respond to your word and your love to care for those who need to see how it is that you desire to keep hope alive through Jesus, the one who saves us from our sins, Emmanuel, God with us. Lord, for all these things and for this conversation and for our time together, we give you thanks and praise. Allow us, dear Lord, to be the 12th, to be your people. Amen. Come.